Welcome to Miracles of God with Pastors Joel and Annalisa Jones.
Got to serve somebody, might as well serve the Lord.
In the book of Psalms, David cried out to the Lord, "Hear, O Lord, and have mercy on me." The Bible tells us that God is our ever-present help. Today, Pastor Joel begins a new series entitled From the Pit to the Promise. Our help comes from the Lord.
Our sermon message today is titled From the Pit to the Promise. Knowing where your help comes from. From the pit to the promise, knowing where your help comes from. We're going to be examining what it takes to climb out of a pit, all right? When you find yourself in a pit, you need to receive adequate help. You need to know how to get out of that pit. So we're going to talk about those things, okay? How many of you have heard of an instance where there's a person drowning or slipped into the water or a pond or a pool, and he needs help, he or she needs help, and someone comes along to help that person? Well, the truth of the matter is sometimes the person coming in to help winds up being pulled under himself, amen? Mm-hmm. And that's just the way it is sometimes, and sometimes they both wind up perishing. See, the point is, you want help, but you want the right help. You need adequate help, and that's what we're talking about. If somebody's going to pull you out, you want to make sure that somebody can do the job. So we're going to go to our Bibles, and I'm going to ask my lovely, lovely wife, whom you've met already, and for her help. I'm going to ask Pastor Annalisa to take us to the Bible and take us to the book of Psalms and read that verse one more time for us. Chapter 4, verses 1 to 3.
Chapter 4 and book of Psalms, verses 1 to 3 says.
Chapter 40, I'm sorry, chapter I said 40. Chapter 4.
I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined to me, and he heard my cry. He also brought me up out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock, and established my steps. He has put a new song in my mouth, praise to our God. Many will see it in fear and will trust in the Lord.
Amen. Thank you, Pastor. All right, we could go on with this, but we want to just keep it right there for a minute, all right? This, of course, is a psalm of David. And David, as you know, was a man of war. David was a man of war. He was also a king, but he was a man of war. He was a man who pursued and was himself pursued. Mm-hmm. See what I mean? And David, in this psalm, he lets us know, see, he was familiar with warfare. David also admits in this psalm that he found himself in a horrible pit, all right? He found himself in a pit, and you know what a pit is, right? A pit is defined as a large hole in the ground, a large hole, which is difficult to climb out of. It's difficult to get out of a pit.
Amen.
I don't know if you've ever been in one, but think of yourself driving down the street, maybe in San Francisco or somewhere like that, and you're driving down the road in your car, your truck, your SUV, your bicycle, depending on what your mode of transportation is. And you're driving and the whole ground simply collapses under the weight. And before you know it, your vehicle, your everything is 12 to maybe 25 feet deep underground. That's a sinkhole. That's what a sinkhole is. And how many of you know that in order to get out of a sinkhole, you're going to need some help?
Amen.
It's not going to be too handy getting out of that sinkhole, that pit. All right? So that's what David understood when he was faced with what that's what he was faced with in this word right here. So we want to look at this and understand what's going on. David was in a sinkhole. And we're going to look at another couple of chapters in the book of Psalm while we're here, another chapter. Let's go to Psalm 69. We're going to go to Psalm 69, and let's go to verse 2, 69 and 2, and then we're going to go flip over to 69 and 14.
Okay, 69, 2 and 69, 14.
Yes, ma'am.
Well, 69, 2 says, I sink in, Psalm 69, 2 says, I sink in deep mire.
Deep mire.
Deep mire,
mm-hmm.
where there is no standing.
There is no standing.
I have come into deep waters
mm-hmm.
where the floods overflow me. Amen. And so do you want me to go on to 6?
Yes, flip to 14. Now go to 14 because we can't read the whole thing. But let's go to 14. Put that
69:14 says, deliver me out of the mire and let me not sink. Let me be delivered from those who hate me and out of the deep waters.
All right. Now, we could, like I said, this, we don't have time to go over the whole psalm, but I just want to give you an idea of what David was going through. David explains how he has sunk into the mire in verse 2. He said, I sink in deep mire where there is no standing. I've come into deep waters where the floods overflow me. See, he's talking about mire as in muddy ground or quicksand.
Mm-hmm.
All right. That means that he couldn't find a foothold. If you've ever been slipping and sliding on a slippery slope, maybe you're trying to get uphill and you're slipping and sliding, you almost fall into your knees. That's what David was talking about. And down in when we go to verse 14, he asked to be delivered out of the mire.
Delivered.
He says, please. He didn't say please, but he said it in his heart. You can say it because he said, my version, New King James Version here says, deliver me out of the mire and let me not sink.
Mm.
Let me be delivered from those who hate me and out of the deep waters. So David was in deep. People were harassing him, chasing him. He had enemies. You see what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And this was David's pit. He was on a downward slide. And I don't know if anybody out there has ever been on a downward slide.
Oh, yeah.
But when you're on a downward slide, it's hard to get up.
Oh, yeah.
Sometimes it's hard to see your way out. Mm-hmm. And you want a way out, but you can't seem to get out. Every time you take a step forward, you slide back.
Mm-hmm.
That sounds like backsliders, doesn't it? Every time you try to take a step one way or the other, you slide back. You need some help. We need mm-hmm. some help.
Yes.
David's talking about help right here. He asks to be rescued. And we find out that David needs to be rescued from who? His enemies.
The enemy.
David had enemies. So this was David's pit. David was in a pit of despair, all right? And his pit of despair was being pursued or cornered by people. David had a problem with folks, okay? David had a problem with folks, you might say, and they were after him. They were after his life. And David knew he needed help. But he needed to be what? Delivered out of that pit. All right? And understand now, I want you to understand this. Get this. This was David's pit. Your pit may be a different pit altogether. You say, well, ain't nobody bothering me. Okay, maybe not. Maybe you're not in a pit with people. Maybe everybody just love you. Well, everybody doesn't have it that way, okay? David was in a pit, but maybe your pit. See, let me back up. Let's look at this word pit. What's a noun? A noun is a person, place, or thing.
Mm-hmm.
So this pit, the word pit is a noun. Let's go back to English grammar or English lit, whatever you want to call it. Okay, so this noun being a thing or a person, in David's case, his pit was a person. Now you got the same pit, but your pit doesn't have to be a person. Okay, you get where I'm going? You got a pit problem, a PP, just like David. But it doesn't have to be a person. Your pit may be a place. For example, if you're a gambler and you can't help yourself, your pit is a place. Because every time you turn around, you're trying to get to the gambling shack. You're trying to get to Las Vegas, Sin City. You're trying to get to Reno. You're trying to get to Cash Creek. Even when somebody just said something to you and said, I'll see you at 5:00, you said, bet. See, you're in a pit. You see what I mean? You can be in a pit, and your pit doesn't have to be a person. It can be a place.
Mm-hmm.
All right? And let's say this. Let's say your pit can be a thing. We said it's a person, place, a thing. Your pit can be a thing. Maybe it's not a gambling shack. Maybe you don't gamble, and nobody bothers you. But you got this thing about drugs. You got this thing about cocaine. You got this thing about alcohol, and it just keeps pulling you down, and you can't even seem to get out of the bottle. You see, that's a pit. That's a pit. That's a thing. A pit can be a person, place, or a thing, like I said. And you know what? It can also be an emotion.
Mm-hmm.
A pit can be an emotion. Well, you say, well, I'm not on drugs, and I'm not on alcohol, and I don't gamble, and everybody love me, but I just love them women, or I just love them men. Guess what? You and you're married, or you're fornicating. Either way, it's a pit. It's a pit of sensual feeling, of lust and immorality. So a pit can be a feeling. And like I said, you fill in the blanks. But each and every one of us is susceptible to falling in a pit. And when you fall into that pit, it's just waiting to swallow you and keep you there. And that's the thing about a pit. Also, you need to know this. Falling into one pit can also lead to another pit. Did you know that? When the ground cracks and collapses under you and you move the wrong way, it collapses again. That's the thing about a pit. You got to be careful about a pit. You can collapse, and you really won't even know that one pit can lead to another pit, and that's really the pits. I mean, seriously, that is bad. So we need to know, the point I'm trying to make here is that when you're in a pit, whether that pit is a person, a place, a thing, a feeling, it pays to know where your help comes from.
Amen.
You don't want to pull anybody into that pit with you. You want to get out of that pit. Amen.
Amen.
You don't want it to collapse any further. You have to be careful how you move to get out of a pit, because sometimes you sink in deeper into that pit. Mm-hmm. All right. And we need to know that. Say, for instance, it's the same principle as when you're driving down the street in your car or whatever your mode of transportation. Let's say a car or truck, and your transmission goes out. And you know it because it's just going, and you can't, it's hard to get it into reverse, and it's hard to get it into drive. You ever been there? I've been there. Okay. When that happens, you need what? A mechanic. Am I right?
Mm-hmm.
But not just any mechanic. You need a transmission specialist, don't you? You need a mechanic who is specialized to work on the problem that you're having right at that time. Am I right? You need someone with specialized expertise to get you on the road again, to get you back right. Amen.
Amen.
So you all remember, you have to remember, you need adequate help.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what we're looking for today. The world today needs adequate help.
Yes.
All right. We need help, not just from, and it can't be any old kind of help. We need supernatural help today,
supernatural.
Whether you know it or not. You know, I'm going to use these guys' names, and I'm going to use the Beatles, which the Beatles, that old London group. I forgot the name, John and Ringo and George and Paul McCartney. I think Paul is still around, and maybe Ringo. But they were big in their day, and they started off as young men doing rock and roll. You know, that's another sermon altogether. I'm not going to talk about rock and roll today. But as they got into their career, they got into all kinds of trouble spiritually, because you need the real word of God. You need to know who you're serving with your songs. Amen.
Amen.
But we're not going to talk about that. I just want to borrow something for the glory of God. They had a song called Help. You remember that song?
Mm-hmm.
That song said, help.
I need somebody
help. Not just anybody help. You know, I need someone.
Help.
Something like that. But anyway, I just want to put that out there. Pastor.
But I went to the alto.
Went to the alto, but that's okay. What I'm trying to say, the lyrics, I'm recounting them only because what the words of that particular song said was that you need help. And when you need help, you just don't want help from any old somebody.
Amen.
When you're crying out for help, you need to know that you're going to get help from the one who can really help you. Amen.
Amen.
You want who can truly get you out of your disastrous situation. And the truth is, when you want help, you want that help now, don't you?
Mm-hmm.
You want that help as soon as possible, you want it to come.
Mm-hmm.
If you're stranded on a desolate road at 3 a.m. and your car is broken down, or you're 30 miles outside of Mobile, Alabama somewhere, and you're in a swamp land, and it's nothing but marsh, and you got to tiptoe through gators or whatever else might be out there, you want some help, okay? Uber may not be the one to come that far. You might need somebody to come by. You'll take a helicopter just to let the rope down and let you climb back up. But you want adequate help,
Amen.
Is what I'm saying.
Amen.
We want help. It pays to get the right kind of help. But you won't know it if you don't know where your help comes from.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why the Lord is sending us this message, because right now the world is in a pit. Mm-hmm. We're in a terrible pit. All right. God has allowed the asphalt to drop in. Okay. And the world is sitting in that pit. All right. This coronavirus and this COVID-19, God allowed it for a reason. And the footing is absolutely terrible. Amen. Amen. So we need to know where our help comes from. We need to know who can lend us a hand and pull us out of this doggone thing.
Yes.
We need to know that, especially with social distancing the way it is. Whose hand can you grab? Huh? Literally, amen? You got to stay 6 feet to 10 feet away from each other, all right? But we still need some help, don't we?
Yeah.
All right? Most times, and I'm not trying to say anything, but most times, we, especially in the church, we've heard that phrase, touch your neighbor. Touch three of them. Funny, I haven't been hearing that term lately. Maybe we could say tap your screen and touch your neighbor, but nah, I don't think that gets it, all right? What I'm trying to say, church, is that we, the world today, we don't need anything superficial, no superficial touch that we need to receive except a touch from the Lord.
Hallelujah.
We need a touch from God right
yes,
now
yes.
that supersedes any other kind of touching. Amen?
Yes.
And that's what we need. We need his help, but we need to know where this help comes from.
Amen.
We've got to know that. The world has to find out where our help comes from. It comes from the Lord. You see, God wants to pull us out of the pit and into the promise. God wants to pull you out of his pit, out of your pit, and into his promise. That's what God wants to do. Some of you may have forgotten how God sees his people. But God sees us as his own special people. He said, who are called out of darkness and into his marvelous light. God has called us out of darkness and into his marvelous light. That's coming out of the pit and into the promise of light, which is Christ Jesus. We got to know that, folks. We need to know that. Think about it. In Jeremiah 29:11, that's what the Lord says. He says, I know the thoughts I think toward you. Huh? Thoughts of good and not evil, to give you a future and a hope. Okay? God is promising that I know I've got a good plan for you. Uh-huh. You don't even know what I have for you.
Amen.
That's what
Amen.
He's saying. Just like in 1 Corinthians 2:9, he says, no eye has seen or ears heard. Okay. A mind has conceived what God has prepared for those who love him. So while we're in our pits of life, while we're in our doldrums, while we're in our addictions, while we're in our criminality, while we're in our lust, God says, I got to get you out of that thing. I want to
yes.
pull you out of the pit and into the promise. I want to
yes.
pull you into life eternal with me. I want to pull you into the joy of the Lord being your strength. That's
yes.
what we have to know. You see, friends, God is your help.
Yes.
He wants to pull you out. So you must know that true help comes from the Lord and not man.
Yes.
It doesn't come from man. And listen, I'm telling you right now, it doesn't come from any phony prosperity preachers. No, it does not. Uh-huh. Trying to convince you that you can buy a blessing. The more money you give me, the bigger your blessing. Well, what about the people that don't have any money? So you got to know where your blessing really comes from, okay? It doesn't come from any phony faith healers swinging their jackets and telling everybody in the balcony to fall down. No, that's not where your blessing comes from.
Amen.
Okay? Come on. Talking about you slain in the spirit. The only thing they're going to slay is your wallet. Okay? You've got to know where your help comes from.
Amen. Amen.
You really got to know where your help comes from. The Bible teaches us, surely, to be cheerful givers. Support your home church.
Mm-hmm.
That's written. That's biblical. That's right. Support God's shepherds. They watch over your soul. Don't muzzle an ox. All that is correct. Okay? But to believe that you can give big money and receive big blessings by somebody's big mouth is the wrong thing, okay? We got to know where our help comes from. We ain't got time to play anymore. People are playing. People been playing church. They don't have time to play anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Let me say they, okay? Because I'm going to tell it like it is. We've been following the Lord ever since he called us out of darkness
yes.
and into his marvelous light with angels and,
yes.
and supernatural events and revelation
yes.
and dreams. Everything that came out of this Bible is the only reason we're here preaching this word now.
Yes.
And that's why I have to tell you the truth. We are spirit of truth.
Yes.
And you've got to know where your help comes from.
Comes from the Lord.
I tell you, your help comes from the Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. That's where your help comes from, okay? In all areas of your life, not just some areas of your life, all areas of your life, that's where you will find true help. Oh, you may be pacified for a minute with something. You may be making a lot of money for a minute. But I'll tell you what, your help comes from the Lord. And you've got to know that. The entire world's health is at stake, physically and mentally. All right? And that's because this virus is sweeping through. This virus is calling people into physical dilemmas. It's also causing people to be in mental dilemmas. People are being depressed. People may become suicidal and different things like that. You need help, all right?
Yeah.
We need help. The whole world needs help. But the thing is, some people don't know who to turn to for help. Can man help you? Not through this. Not through this. And that's the reason, that's one of the reasons that this may be coming through, is God wants you to know where your help comes from.
Amen.
Where can we find help in this situation? Well, your help comes from El Shaddai, God. It comes from God Almighty. Your help in the pit of this plague comes from Jehovah Rapha, our healer. All right? Same God. All right? Different characteristics, different names. Jehovah Rapha, our healer. Okay? God is our hero. The Lord is our salvation. All right? He's the one who says in Jeremiah 37:17, I will restore health to you, and I will heal all of your wounds. That's what the Lord says. So even if you're in a position of ill health, even if you're in a position where you have wounds like Job and boils all over your body, whatever the case may be, God is saying, I'm your help. I will help you. I will restore you. That's what you have to know. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Praise God. God says, his word says to trust in him. It says, I'll be help to your flesh and strength to your bones. That's what the Bible says in Proverbs 3:8. Amen. So don't get discouraged when you know that there is a God who will take care of you. You've got to know that. We've got to know that. We got to walk in this thing. All right. And don't get me wrong. The good Lord can and will send people your way to help. The good Lord will send people your way to help you. I'm not saying that there aren't good people. There are people in the world, righteous, who are righteously trying to help people, even through this pandemic right now. You see good Samaritans and volunteers from all walks of life trying to help their fellow man, and that's godly. I was just looking at a man on the news. He was a newspaper man, and he delivers newspapers, and he found out there was an elderly woman on his block, and he knew that she didn't have the luxury of getting out of her home and buying groceries. So before he delivered her paper to her, he went and got her grocery. What a gallant thing to do.
Amen. God is our helper, the God of your father, who will help you, and by the Almighty, who will bless you with blessings of heaven above, blessings of the deep that lies beneath, blessings of the breasts and of the womb. This is Miracles of God with Pastor Joel Jones, sponsored by Spirit of Truth Church Worldwide in Fairfield, California. We appreciate your partnership and financial support. All financial donations are tax deductible and accepted on our secure website. Giving is easy. Simply click the donate button to give today. We appreciate your faithful support and pray the Lord strengthens you as you follow Him. Thank you for choosing to fellowship with us today. Today's message, along with previous broadcasts, are available at spiritoftruthchurchworldwide.com. Listen, while you're there, connect with us. Like and follow us on Facebook. And if you've been blessed by today's messages, please let us know. Submit your comments, testimonies, and prayer requests on our contact page at spiritoftruthchurchworldwide.com. In need of prayer or encouragement? We're here for you. Call 707-759-5244. Join us for our weekly Sunday worship service at 1 p.m. Walk with us through the Bible Wednesdays at 8 p.m. live on Facebook. All services are available on YouTube and online at spiritoftruthchurchworldwide.com. Thanks again for tuning in to Miracles of God with Pastor Joel Jones. Don't forget to tune in next week for the continuation of this teaching series with Pastor Joel. Until next time.